Hey folks, just wanted to let you know that tickets are now on sale for our first live show of the year and our first live show in Los Angeles, California, specifically Pasadena, California. We are doing a show here in our hometown on March the 17th at Rose City Church in Pasadena, because as it turns out, churches are not that hard to book as a venue for this show. So even though it's a church venue, don't worry. I mean, we are making you go to church if you come to this show. I'm sorry, but you know us. You trust us. You trust our hearts. It's not a trap. I promise it's not a trap. Tickets are now on sale. You can go to goodchristianfun.com/live to get your tickets now, and we hope to see you there.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by the Fine Dining Podcast. Caroline, do you like to dine finely?
I do, because it rhymes with my name.
Caroline, dine fine, drinking water, drinking wine.
With Diane Feinstein.
With Diane Feinstein. RIP. Fine Dining, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America, is a podcast where comedian Michael Ornelas is traveling the country, eating at all the chain restaurants in search of the perfectly average 5 out of 10 dining experience. The objective middle threshold of where bad becomes good, which if you listen to this podcast, you're very familiar with the concept.
With a 5 out of 10 experience.
And bad maybe becoming good as God saves us. Recently, featured guests include Marissa Pinson and John Glover as they review Costco's Food Court. It's a 2-part episode that covers everything from discontinued menu items to how many hot dogs could fit in their mouths. And today, his IHOP episode dropped. So right now, head over to linktree.com/finediningpodcast and click Bee's Giveaway to enter for an all-expenses-paid trip to your local Applebee's, the current frontrunner for the most mediocre restaurant in America at a 5.02 out of 10 for you and 3 of your friends. And you can watch or listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Caroline, who would you take?
Oh my gosh, I got a table for four at Applebee's.
Yeah.
Obviously, love of my life, Nathan, gonna be there.
My fingers are crossing.
Who likes chain restaurants?
I'm getting a nosebleed.
Probably my friend Jeremy. Okay.
I know him.
That leaves one more. Let me ask you a question,
yeah,
Kevin.
Yeah.
If you were gonna order an Applebee's right now, what would you get?
I'd get a fried onion if they had it.
All right, you're in.
Okay.
As long as we can share.
Hell yeah. Listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Enter by May 1st, and the winner will be announced on the May 8th Chipotle episode. That's linktree.com/finediningpodcast.
Gosh.
Is that our intro?
Yeah.
Okay. Like the least amount of effort possible. Oh gosh.
Negative energy coming into this.
No cold open. Just the show. We're dying.
Burden. Nah.
Ooh. Oh, that wasn't any of the notes in that key. Welcome to Good Christian Fun. I'm Kevin.
You said it wrong.
Welcome to Good Question Fun.
Thank you.
Welcome to Good Question Fun. Do you think anyone has ever clicked on this show?
I'm Kevin.
I'm Kevin.
I'm Taroline.
Taroline?
Yeah.
Like you're a little tear?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, that was so mean of me.
What a stupid joke.
We're here to have a little good
Christian fun.
Do you think any Christian Bale stands have clicked on this and thought this was a Christian Bale podcast where we go through all of his movies, we talk about The Machinist.
It's probably more likely as the Christian Slater fans are coming in.
Yeah, Christian Slater fans.
Yeah.
I'm Mr. Robot.
I like Heather.
I'm Heather. I am Heather. I will say the original, in my original conception of the show was called Christian Bale, B-A-I-L. Because you leave the church.
Yeah, no, I've heard that several times.
Okay. Well,
But we didn't leave the church. We're still here.
We're here.
What is this show, Kevin?
Good Christian Fun is the show where we talk about Christian pop culture, Christian movies, Christian music, Christian entertainment, Christian direct-to-video series such as McGee and Me or Last Chance Detectives or Veggie Tales or The Donut Man or Salty the Singing Songbook or Colby the Christian Robot or Gerber. Do you think I'm making up any of these, or do you know all these to be true? No.
Colby seems fake. Gerber, I know, is real.
Colby the Christian Robot is real. Colby's real.
Oh, man. Yeah. Christian Robot.
And fun fact, Colby Smulders' grandfather was Colby the Christian Robot.
Do you think Christian robots get into heaven?
Yeah, well, because of...
If they confess the sinner's
prayer. Luke 01101.
Oh, my God. Kevin, that was good.
Why?
No, I'm great.
But Caroline and I are Christians, technically, but we're not here to proselytize to you or make you go to church. And we're not here to bash Christianity either.
And
or people of any faith.
We're not going to say, gotcha, this is a Bible study, welcome.
Although we do have a live show coming up here in the Los Angeles area where we are literally making people go to church.
We are doing it inside a church, and I can't wait.
It was the only space that would take us.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
It's the only one we asked.
Yeah.
Do come to that show, though.
March 17th.
March
17th. It's
going
to be a Yabba Dabba Doo time.
It's going to be
a Yabba Dabba Doo Luya time.
It's going to be Little Luya.
It's going to be Little Luya.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to be doing communion shots off of each other in the crowd. And yeah, no, it's going to be fun.
Yeah, we're going to have Java.
We will have Java wine. Feels like it, right?
Yeah.
No, but I feel like there's a certain revelry now in a lot of like ex-evangelical or post-evangelical people where it's like, you know what? You can have Bible study at a pub or a beer. That can be your Bible
beers
study.
Beers and Bibles.
Oh, beers and Bibles is like, it's the new coffee and the word. It feels
that
like.
That does sound nice to me, though.
Like guys with mustaches. Oh, like going to congregation on. Congregation is this bar in the Pasadena area, a little bit south of Old Town, that we used to go to legit every night after our community group.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't intentional, but it was on theme because congregation, there's like stained glass windows.
Yeah, it's like
and
a church-themed bar.
And,
oh, and the tip jar is called Offering, which
right.
is cute.
Mm-hmm. So we went there so much, though, that Caroline now has a Pavlovian visceral reaction.
No, I shudder. And if the listener or if the owner of Congregation is listening, do you take feedback? Because I have some.
What? Their tater tots are good.
Their food is bad.
No, their tater tots with the sriracha ketchup is good, and you're wrong about that.
You are.
What?
Those are like frozen tater tots from Costco, which are fine. But, you know, like if I go to a restaurant.
Well, they're not like...
Don't shovel trash in my mouth.
They're not like truffle tots.
Like
or they don't do that.
Ooh, truffle tots.
You want to make some truffle tots
after
this?
I think I got the goods.
This is a very special episode of Good Christian Fun. Usually we have a guest on. We take a piece of Christian pop culture and really just like, you know, dismantle it.
Eviscerate.
just lash out at it. Yeah, just like, you know, we pretend the Christian pop culture is our dad and we just start yelling at it. Why, Dad? Why?
You don't get it.
You don't think I'm funny, Stephen Kurtz Chapman? Well, I'll show you. I'll show all of you in this dumb town.
We're fair. But no, this time we don't have a guest. Unless you count our announcement
the Holy
as a
Spirit.
Special guest.
No. I mean, should we?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do a special announcement intro.
Well, it's been coming for a while. You've been hearing about it.
Oh.
You've heard of it. Do you want to be a part of it? It's GCF Second Service! Oh, it's way
it's
too early.
It's a little early.
Oh, damn.
No, you should
You're
start
so
doing
good
these,
at
though.
That. Do you like seeing the panic in my eyes?
Yeah, I do. All right. Guys, Caroline already said our announcement. Here it is.
GCF Second Service. Now you're saying, wait, didn't you already do that? Yeah, and we were tricking you because that was a little teaser.
Honestly, let's back it up a little bit.
Yeah.
And talk about this show. And what doing is meant and what Second Service means going forward. We've been doing this show. This is episode 27.
Mm-hmm.
We've been doing it since September, basically. I think our first episode was like August 30th or
it's
Genesis.
Been 6 months.
Yeah.
Wow.
So we're legit at the midway through a year point.
Yes.
What it started as and what it's become has been surprising.
Yeah.
Shocking.
It's grown into a real cool community that I did not expect or ask for, and I'm so happy we got it. That made it sound negative.
No, I never asked for this.
I love it.
Well, it's just one of those things where I was like, this is niche. And it still is niche, but I think we underestimated how deep it would resonate for whom the niche would be true of. And the people that it would appeal to outside, not some just people had a similar upbringing.
Curious but. That also were brought in. That was something I was also like, I couldn't ask for that, and that happened. That's really been cool.
Well, I even think back to the last time we did an episode like this where we're just kind of checking in with each other. And it feels different from even then in the sense of what the community has turned into. It's been, so far, so good. One of the, most joyous things in my life.
Absolutely.
Right now, do it.
Kevin and I were talking right before we started recording, and Kevin and I are both like, we want to keep a momentum going, and we're always thinking of how we can improve things or what's the future. But we both took a pause, and we were just like, this is going well, and like we're just really proud and grateful for how it's gone so far, and the people we've gotten to know through it, and like how you all have responded. So
yeah.
We feel very happy and like grateful.
And we'll get to your questions in a little bit, but it's one of those things where like even just seeing responses and how it's affected people like on a personal level has been very meaningful to us in a way that nothing has before.
Absolutely.
So here's the deal with the show. And we're 27 episodes in. We've pretty much got the format, right? We figured it out. We know how more or less the show works. Although I will say I do want the show to continue to like grow and evolve. So if you're listening 7 years from now, our end point where we'll be raptured.
Right. When your head is poised beneath the guillotine
right.
And you're still listening.
And Nikolai's looking at you like do or die, mofo.
When the blood has reached the horse's bridle, as they say.
Right. And Kirk Cameron comes in and says, not today, Satan. Not today.
Grabs your feet with this tribulation force.
I do want the show to be different 5 years from now or 6 years or whatever it is, however long we're both alive and can do this show than what it is now. We want to like grow and evolve and change. But more or less, we've figured out the format. We figured out, so we want to keep doing that. That's always going to be the case. That's always going to be our Wednesday show.
Yeah.
Right? With like maybe slight detours here and there, like an episode such as this. That being said, I think something that we really found in doing the last month of programming, in February was, doing those little interviews with Rachel Held Evans and Carol Howard Merritt and doing those second service episodes, those bonus episodes, quote unquote, on Fridays. It was really rewarding just to kind of break out of that format and do something that informed, the main format of the show while still being something different and self-sustaining unto itself.
Yeah, and where you and I got to maybe go into something that was like really interesting to us and kind of dive in a little deeper on it.
Yeah, and something though, exactly. Hey, listen, we saw that video of Stephen Curse Chapman burying his head into a trash bag of popcorn.
He was diving in all right on snacks.
Shouts out to the listener who made the Stephen Curtis Chappie fan art in the Good Christian Fans Facebook page.
The art you guys make is some of my favorite things ever. They make me,
The modification on the Sleepless in Seattle poster. I did not appreciate it.
Masterful?
No, I don't like that one.
Kevin didn't like it.
I didn't like that one.
Doing the second service has been really fun and something that we want to do more. And we teased this way back on the last GQF episode that we were looking forward to doing Patreon, and that's what we're talking about right now.
Right. So we're going to start doing second service every week.
Yes.
Starting this week, this Woo-hoo. Friday.
Bonus.
Bonus episode.
I got
episodes.
A bonus in my pants
No. You're going to make people not want to do it.
Okay, fine.
So we're going to start doing it on Fridays.
Yeah.
And it'll be available via our Patreon page, patreon.com.
Our Patreon page. As Nate said.
Don't type in Patreon, though. You're not going to find
you're
it.
You're not going to find
so
it.
So it'll be patreon.com/goodchristianfun. And you can find that and subscribe. Mm-hmm. And for $5 a month, you'll have access to our second service episodes.
Yeah, so basically 4 extra GCF episodes in your life. That'll
or 5
be
sometimes.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Hey.
Depending on those crazy months.
What are you doing?
I don't know. Yeah, so we'll be giving a lot of extras, and we're really excited about that. It'll not only be those kind of in-depth interviews with like an expert, but we're going to break the format in several ways.
We want to get weird and fun with it.
Yes, we may do like topic deep dives on just a particular thing in Christianity, like purity culture, for example.
That was one thing, I think, after doing the Rebecca St. James episode and seeing how deeply and personally that resonated with people.
Absolutely.
That was somewhere it's like, oh, we could do 20 episodes on
this.
That's
a big one. Yeah. And that is something that just needs time and dedication just for that, mm-hmm. that we'd like to do. We may talk about Paddington. Paddington Pals. It's coming.
We might.
We might.
Perhaps. I mean, the Blu-ray's coming out April 24th and available on digital March 27th.
Oh my gosh.
What? Do you understand that this is my Star Wars? Like, the way, like, guys in their 40s think about Star Wars now, this will be like, oh yeah, I remember that.
Oh my gosh. I can't wait until you cosplay Paddington. That's going to be so adorable.
Oh, Halloween's coming right around the corner, baby.
He's going to be a little cutie pie, a little toggled coat.
Yeah, so doing stuff like that where it's like, oh, it's not quite Christian pop culture, but it's just something we want to talk about and do. And so for this month, to launch the second service, we're doing something we call March Madness, the hunt for the worst Christian song of all time.
Oh yeah, baby.
Which is exactly what it sounds like. So for the next 4 weeks, we're going to be just doing worst Christian song of all time with all of our friends, all of our previous special guests.
Yeah, we're some bringing old back friends. Some buds.
Yeah, and we're going to pit these songs against each other.
Competitively.
Just spend each episode doing that. So that's going to be the first episode of four dropping on Friday. 2 days from now, if you're listening to this on Wednesday.
So if you sign up, you're going to be able to get that right away.
Yeah.
Well, 2 days is basically right away.
Yeah.
But in this internet age, I don't know why I keep turning into a
in this economy,
55-year-old.
I don't know.
Game
maybe,
show host.
Maybe when we talk about new technologies and platforms like Patreon, it does
it
make
safe.
Us feel old. Yeah, it feels safe.
But yeah, but we're always going to be doing our main show, as we said. This is going to be extra. This is going to add more GCF to your life.
And this is the thing, right? Like, this is what I care about. The work and doing this show and what it's meant in the community, this is what we care about. So seeing the amount of work that it is and seeing the amount of work that it is to do it right, we could scale back on it, but we actually want to double down
on
it and start doing two of these every week. But the only way that that made sense for us is to do it via the Patreon.
Yeah.
So you can sign up and become a Patreon saint.
That's right. Isn't that fun? So we're really excited to start doing that. I'm just excited for the possibilities and all the wacky stuff we're going to get into, and more quality time with Kevin, which is what I need.
More. You said that a little sarcastically in a way that made me feel uncomfortable.
Not at all.
No, let's check in with each other right now. We've gotten the big announcement out of the way. How's your heart? How is your heart, Caroline?
My heart's good. I had a great weekend. I was sick on Friday, so I took the day off from work, which was very nice. I was really sick. And then just had kind of a good weekend of like seeing my friends. And I also this weekend sat down and finished a book in one sitting, which I haven't done in years. The Bell Jar, actually. Never read it. By Sylvia Plath.
The Bell Jar, starring me, Bill Clinton.
I didn't touch it.
I did not touch that jar. Gosh, I hope not, Bill.
Jeez.
Good grief.
What could you even do with
that? Was it a small jar? What could you do with that? Bill?
So that felt good just to know that like my brain hasn't been completely fried by Twitter, that I could still have an attention span. So that was nice. Yeah, and otherwise I'm feeling good.
Great.
How's your heart going?
I mean, it's still ticking, if that's what you're asking.
That was... wondering. No, you're extremely healthy. I'm not concerned about your cardiac health.
I know, but it feels like I could die of a heart attack any day now.
Why is that?
Well, I don't know. I've been tracking my heart rate via Fitbit, and I've gone down in terms of my resting heart rate.
Okay.
I would say like in my most unhealthy times, it's like resting around 55, 56. I'm around 49, 48
That's
right
good.
Now.
That's
yeah. So
good, right?
But at the same time, I know. I don't know either.
Would you say your Fitbit gives you more anxiety in life or more endorphin bursts of like, you hit the 10,000, good job.
More anxiety, but I need it. I need it to run, honestly.
Do you feel like you have a personal relationship with it at this point? Like, does it have kind of a soul to you?
Well, Caroline, I'll say at this point, it kind of feels like an episode of Black Mirror.
It's like technology's taking over.
Good, but is it bad? It's like phones are good, but actually are phones bad?
Technology.
My heart's pretty good. I've had a good couple of days where I've felt good and at peace and connected. And I think this is an interesting show to do where the show feeds the friendship and the friendship feeds the show in a way that doesn't feel like one's gained the shaft over the other.
Of our friendship?
I think so.
Oh, that's really nice.
Listen, there's a lot more logistical text than there used to be. Can you send me the picture?
Send me the link.
Yeah. Can you get that? I'll reach out to them. Okay,
did
thanks.
Did you post this?
Yeah. Did you get this? Did you get that? Honestly, I feel trust has been built up.
Yeah.
And I feel like in a very good place with you.
I do too. And it's been interesting to get closer with you and to have daily interactions with you and even get annoyed with you, because we're that close. Like, in a lot of ways, and don't take this in a weird way, it feels like a marriage in some ways. Like, we're having to learn, like, healthy relationship practices, you know, of like
totally.
Appreciation or communication or all this kind of stuff.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
like been necessary just because of the amount of time we're together. And it's cool. And I like appreciate that. And I feel like we've done a good job of being open with each other. And
I think so. And I think even
I can't believe we're basically doing a little bit of a open
marriage
therapy
counseling
with the listeners.
Well, I will say,
so sorry, everyone. Tune out.
I think I said this on a previous episode or on another show, but I know two co-hosts that are in couples counseling.
Oh, yeah. They're I think this, about that a lot.
They're like, on this very successful that podcast that gets hundreds and thousands of listeners. And they've had, like, you know, conflict, as you would with anyone you work with.
It's Pod very, Save very America. Close.
It's not Pod Save America. Yeah, Jon Favreau and John Lovett got to go to counseling.
No, they go to Thrupple's counseling. So there's three of them, right?
Well, there's Dan Pfeiffer, the Lucas Hedges looking one. The one that looks like Lady Bird's first boyfriend.
I don't think
boyfriend.
I've ever seen a picture of them, now that I think about it.
But yeah, my heart feels good.
Yeah.
Because it's connected to your heart forever.
Oh, Jesus.
Sorry, okay. Sweet. Got weird.
No, thank you, Kevin. That's really nice. I feel the same way.
But Caroline, this is good question fun.
Yes.
So we're going to get into these listener questions.
After this.
After the break. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, Caroline, I got a question for you.
Yes.
How is your social battery right now? Are you feeling drained? Do you got a lot of energy right now? Where are you at with things as we speak today?
Well, you know, when you're pregnant, famously, your social battery is endless, actually, because you're powered by a baby battery.
It's like someone slaps a mag charger onto your phone.
Exactly.
And you can go for like 24 hours more.
I am the U.S. Marines of taking down social situations. I feel incredible all the time. So yeah, that's where I'm at. What about you?
Wow. Well, I'm feeling a little drained. And sometimes it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, which is maybe the zone I'm in right now.
Mm.
And for me, spreading myself too thin is like going to a lot of like Garfield events recently that have been happening over town.
Oh,
with
yeah.
The new movie coming out.
I know you get so excited about those. You got to spread those out a little more.
I know. And I need to really protect my energy and stuff. But, you know, it's worth asking ourselves, what's the right amount of socializing and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need a little me time, a little alone, introverted time. But either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. So things like tuning into yourself, feeling and understanding what you want and need yourself, and then being able to communicate that to those around you, and then most especially to yourself.
Well, if you can't get pregnant immediately, that sounds like a pretty good solution as a backup.
And again, I think I might have even said this before. If I could get pregnant, I would, just to understand what it's like to have even like boundless energy that can kind of propel me into
feel
like
as incredible as you could feel
to exercise more, to be working out like 3 hours a day,
exactly,
working 9 hours a day on top of that, and then
good
going out 2 hours. Yes, such a good brain on top of that. So if you're thinking about starting therapy, maybe give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. If you don't like the first person you get, don't worry, there's another one on the docket. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GoodChristianFun today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
10%?
.com/GoodChristianFun. You got some thoughts on that 10%?
That's a good deal.
It is.
I agree. First month?
And especially because 10% is where I'm feeling my battery is right now. That's BetterHelp.com/GoodChristianFun.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Auraframes.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Auraframe.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Auraframes are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Auraframe, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Welcome back to Good Question Fun. I do sound like I have a lisp.
You do.
This is the genius of this title that we didn't come up with, but a listener did. We're all Betty Boop. So I will say, man, 95% of the questions we got were great.
Don't say that.
Well, one was literally, did you nut? So I'm not going to count that.
I was going to bring that one up.
Okay.
I'm going to ask that.
So we asked for your voicemails and your emails.
Oh, you guys were not messing around. These are really good questions.
People dove in. They got deep. They were very funny.
Yes.
But we don't have time to read them, so let's get to the plugs. I feel like we're just going to describe them for an hour.
Thank you so much, and see you later.
Oh, boy. So let's take a listen. A question from Kristen.
Hi, Caroline and Kevin. This is Kristen from Fort Worth, Texas. Thank you so much for the podcast. I love it. Look forward to it every week. My question for you guys is, what are your all-time favorite Bible stories?
I do love Ecclesiastes.
Ooh,
because
yeah.
it's almost
nihilist.
Like the, it's like this weird break in the Bible where it's like, man, everything sucks, it's pointless, whatever, like just that,
yeah,
that old, I mean, I guess that's not a story, but that's one of my favorite. That's the one where I read it and it's almost like when I listened to Tom Waits music when I was a kid, I was like, this guy sounds weird, and then as I've gotten older, it's like, this guy sounds like he makes sense
this
to me.
This guy's telling
now.
The truth.
Yeah, that's what Ecclesiastes feels like. That's not a story, though.
Ecclesiastes, it's very like, as opposed to other parts of the Bible that are just like despair, because it's just a song about despair.
Mm-hmm.
Ecclesiastes is like just matter of fact of like, and so goes life.
Sure.
You know?
Do you have a fave?
Well, any of the stories with Jesus are great because he has like, he's such a bizarre person, and like the way he reacts to stories never makes sense.
Or, he's
like,
kind of a weirdo.
He's kind of weird.
Yeah.
And like his responses are never like answering the question asked, and he always just kind of does like a redirect.
He's like the Rob Bell of his time.
Yeah.
What if the question is the answer?
Damn. Oh. Kill him.
Damn, Jesus. Damn, kill him. Like we all called for Rob Bell to be killed, I guess.
Basically. He was crucified by the media.
Well, the Gospel Coalition,
yeah.
At least.
But the story that came to mind, I guess because we talked about it so recently with Carol, was the story of the woman being stoned, where the Pharisees brought out a woman who had committed adultery, and in the Bible it says if you commit adultery, you're allowed to get stoned to death. Which is crazy. That's in the Bible. We needed to deal with that.
Yeah.
And so they came to Jesus almost kind of as like a proving point, like, here we go. Let's see if you're going to, like, if you know your law or whatever. And Jesus said, like, whoever is without sin, you can throw the first stone. Basically,
sure.
Like, are you sinless? Go ahead. Go ahead and throw it. And he also, like, draws something weird in the sand that no one knows what it was, but everyone has very big theories about what he did.
Some people speculate that it was Snoopy.
He just drew a quick
Snoopy. He just did like a quick dog.
Woodstock.
And that's when Charles Schulz knew.
Gosh.
He was there.
But I like that story. It's beautiful. It's protective. It's compassionate. And I just love the literary element of him having something, doing something unknown and no one knows what it was, but everyone can have a theory about
it. Sure. It is the biblical version of the last scene in Lost in Translation. What did Bill Murray say?
Or Inception. Did the spin fall?
Did the spin fall?
Gosh.
Did you know that Christopher Nolan believes life begins at Inception? It's very pro-life. Yeah. All right. Next question.
No. That was
Hi,
a great
Kevin
answer.
Caroline. This is Mary from Scotland. We don't have a big Christian pop culture scene here, really, but we did have a big Christian music festival when I was kind of a teenager, and I was wondering if that's a big thing in the States as well. If you guys experienced that growing up, and kind of what part that played in your youth. Would be cool to hear from you. Keep up the good work. Thanks, guys.
Okay, so the closest thing I went to a Christian music festival was at Six Flags Astroworld in Houston, Texas. They had something every summer, at least when I was growing up, called Joy Fest. And Joy Fest was a bunch of bands throughout the day playing their sets. And I remember one of which was our old friends, our good friends, the Newsboys.
Ah.
And they did the drum spinning thing. Guys, by the way.
They've been doing that for that long?
For years.
It's incredible.
And we'll talk, by the way, that's going to be one of our second service episodes, is we recorded, I looked at it later, 2 hours of audio at the Newsboys concert.
I can't imagine what that sounds like, too, because in my memory, we were just like shouting
bits
at each other.
But the thing is, the microphone was so good at being directional that it just sounds like there's a quiet band in the background like, oh, people. I'm like, this rocks!
I can't believe
it! So that's the closest. I remember there was another one called Festival Con Dios in Houston, but I think I was too young to go to that. So that would be the closest
Festival
thing.
Festival Con Dios?
Yeah, because that's like Festival with God.
Cool.
Con Dios.
Mari, first of all, thanks for listening.
Scotland!
Way out there.
Whoa!
That's really neat. Second of all, I haven't been to any Christian musical festivals, so answer done.
That's fair. Do you think you've been to more or less than a dozen Christian music concerts in your life?
Oh, so much less.
So much less?
So much less.
Two?
Well,
three?
We'll mention this in the Newsboys episode, but I'm not much of a concert goer, period. And so
sure.
I think I have two Christian concerts that I've been to. Newsboys.
Okay. And Out of
Eden.
That's it?
That's it.
It really is two?
I think so. I think that's all I can think of.
Predict we're going to double that number by the end of the podcast.
Probably.
This next question comes to us from Sophia. I keep saying that, and then they immediately say their name in the voice memo.
Hi, guys. My name is Sophia. I've been listening to your show with my fiance since day one, so thank you so much for making it.
Wait.
My question is about...
Wait for marriage.
By the way, was it August 30th? Hashtag wait for marriage. Because if it wasn't August 30th, that's a lie. That was day one for us.
She's been listening since
she
day one.
She said, I've been listening since day one.
So
I just want to know if that's true or not.
Berate a loyal listener is kind of your angle, right?
I just don't want any of our listeners to lie to us. Because lying is a sin.
My question is about differences of theology at church. I grew up in the Episcopalian church. I'm pretty liberal, but I've been going to evangelical churches since college. I also went to an evangelical college, and I really like how communities form there, but I also have a hard time talking to people about my beliefs about LGBTQ issues and feminist issues. I'm wondering if you have any ideas on how I can have those conversations and also reconcile my faith with theirs. Thank you so much. Take care.
Good question.
That is a good... I mean, listen, that's what the show's all about. That's the, right there baked in the titles. Good question. Fun.
Wow.
Do you have a recent example in your mind of that happening where you've had to talk to someone who maybe has a little more of a conservative, I won't even say conservative, just a different
or just like hasn't had that.
Yeah.
That's
to what they believe.
I can't say actually, I'm probably not a great person to ask because I haven't really done it in person very much.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I've had a few friends where we've gotten into discussions of just like unpacking certain things we believed. And it was with close friends, so it felt very safe at the end of the day and good. My answer would be research and research and research as much as you can. Like read up because you may get asked, you know? And it just feels good to know why you believe it, of course, and what you're doing. So you've probably already done that. So that's good. You did step one. And I'd say the second thing would be to try to only really have that conversation in the context of a friendship or of a relationship.
I think that is the key.
I think it's so essential.
I think difference is best expressed within the context of friendship. So
history and
yeah,
and
well, just
knowing
trust.
Each other. Yeah, and trust.
Current
and
friendship.
It's a noble idea to try to have a dialogue with people that maybe you aren't close with or who are just, you're going to have people maybe that like come at you and ask a question because they found out like you're a really strong feminist, you know, or something like that. But those are really difficult. And I wanted to say, like, it's okay if you don't take that challenge up because there isn't safety there. Or it doesn't feel like it's going to go anywhere but a debate, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes that's necessary. But especially if it's in your own church community and this is someone that's, like, a part of your family.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that should be, yeah, a relationship where even if you disagree, you could both walk away and be like, I respect you. I love you. We'll still be friends. We're going to carry on.
Sure.
Here, you know?
Well, I think fully understanding them first is, I don't think you can go wrong with.
That's so, a good way. Yeah. So maybe if you're not friends with them, like just ask them a lot about their history and where they're coming from.
Ask them 25 questions about what they believe and why before assuming like, oh, I guess you hate gay people. I guess
totally.
You hate women.
Yeah.
Because I think you'll be able to find some commonality within those first 25 questions of genuine curiosity and understanding.
Yeah.
That's something a friend of mine who's a counselor is taught me, like, they'll just ask and ask and ask and ask before even getting anywhere near, like, well, I
their
believe.
Opinion. Yeah.
And by the time they do, it feels very informed by two people actually trying to understand each other.
That's good advice.
So I'd say listen a bunch and ask a bunch of questions before getting into it. But like Caroline said, don't feel a onus or pressure or responsibility to represent whatever that
yes,
belief
all
system
of feminism
is.
Or whatever. You can say like, you know, I can give you some books you can look at or that kind of thing if you want to read up. But
and I think it takes humility and strength to tap out and say, I don't know.
You can also do something that I am bad at, which is stay calm.
I feel like you're fairly calm.
My cockles get raised sometimes when I get in a disagreement.
Sure.
And I think I can lose compassion very quickly. And this is just general, you know, disagreement advice.
In life.
But you're just if you're trying to win the argument, it's not going to work. You
can't
win. Find a common ground. So
I think that's fair.
I think we answered that.
I think we answered that. I want to read this question from Tabitha.
Okay, great.
Real quick. My friend Molly and I love your show. We both grew up Catholic. We feel so much of the culture. But we were wondering how you guys learned about Catholicism and the history of Christianity. No offense, but y'all don't seem to know that much about Catholicism. Peace be with you.
Offense taken.
No offense taken.
Not at all.
I will say, Tabitha, you're right. We don't know that much. I feel like I know the very little I experienced by having friends in high school and college who were Catholic, and but I didn't have that much of a cure. If I could relive those things, I feel like I would have that a lot more curiosity about
Absolutely.
Those experiences. I didn't have that much curiosity back then, so I wasn't like, how does communion work? What do you believe about this? How does blah, blah, blah? What about your confirmation? Which is why it's so fun during guestimony stuff to be able to talk about that, because honestly, it's some of the first times I've like.
It's a learning experience for us.
We're not theology majors, y'all.
Yeah, I mean, we're trying to catch up, but there's a lot there.
If you got a Catholicism for Dummies book or a video series or anything, send it our way. Sure.
Yeah, and I'll say, like, I think our Catholic listeners, our Mormon listeners, a lot of listeners that maybe are a little outside of the evangelical but still under the Christian umbrella get really disappointed in us sometimes, and I'm so sorry. Like, I completely understand.
Yeah.
And I think because, at least in my background, like, so much of what I learned about those other religions was the negatives about them. And mm-hmm. so that's, like, a lot of what I have to work with. It's not good. And so, yeah, so we're learning and trying to fill in the gaps here. So
you feel like you had negative exposure to Catholicism?
I had some positive. Like, my grandma is, like, a really devout Catholic, mm-hmm. and she's amazing, and I always, like, respected that. But I think a lot of, at least in my, like, Christian school, we talked about Catholicism and that, like, yeah, saints are idol worship and Mary is idol worship, and it's a lot of works-based stuff like that. And so I learned those negative things as, like, my kernels of understanding Catholicism, sure. which is really not even the case. So,
yeah,
so we're still gaining information, but we do love you and consider you part of the fam.
Yeah, and I will say, like, and I know we've said this before, but no part of our, like, guest booking, if it feels like, oh, you've had a lot of this kind of person on,
mm-hmm.
is intentional. 9 times out of 10, our guest booking is contingent on the answer to the question, who said yes this week?
Yeah, and yeah, we have no idea a lot of the time what their faith background right. is, so it comes in blind. And I think people were a little concerned that there were a lot of negative Catholic experiences. We understand that, but that's also, like, that's their story and their experience, and we don't screen that, and also we're not going to tell them that's not true or that wasn't their experience. So sure. we talked a little bit on that on the last question episode, but mm-hmm. just wanted to reinforce that, like, y'all are good. Hang in there.
Hang in there.
And thank you for, like, your trust in us and your generosity of, like, helping us do better.
Yeah. I will say it is a leap of faith to keep listening to us.
If you know what I mean. I'd say so.
Patreon saint. Okay. Let's listen to another question.
Hey guys, my name is Justin, and I just wanted to know, what is each of y'all's favorite silly songs with Larry?
I'm looking
for some deep cuts, if it's just a classic, that's fine too. Thanks.
Yeah, he said even the classics are okay.
Justin, I have to personally thank you because I went on a deep dive of VeggieTales songs
today. Is that true?
Because
for
this
question?
Yes, because I started with one and then I was like, oh, I forgot how many I knew.
I mean, to me, Silly Songs with Larry is like the original Lonely Island digital shorts on SNL. In that, it is this product in the middle of another product that's kind of a breath of fresh air.
Uh-huh.
Here's what I will say is a genuine similarity, is that the premises for each SNL Lonely Island digital short and A Silly Song with Larry are similarly thin. Like, the premise for, like, Water Buffalo, okay, or My Dick in a Box, like, those, to me, those feel the same. Like,
it's a sentence someone threw out and then made a song.
It's barely a premise, which is kind of the reason going and committing so hard to those things works.
So fun.
Yeah, I will say, I mean, Hairbrush for me, and I know that's like great, that's like saying
that's basic bitch answer.
What's your favorite Tom Petty song? Free Fallin'. I understand. May he rest in peace. I understand, but yeah, it's gotta be a Where's My Hairbrush. Although I was a big fan of the Larry Boy theme song as sung by Nicole C. Mullen.
Oh,
that's a different thing.
Wow.
That's not exactly a silly song with Larry.
I have three answers.
Oh dear Lord.
Can I get the plug real quick?
Sure.
So I can play one. Okay. This is my first top choice.
Daytime drama, endangered love.
Barbara Manatee.
I don't know this one.
Barbara, one for me.
Caroline knows it. She's
Sandra
mouthing all the words.
Up above. You are the one I love.
When? What year was this?
This is, I don't know, but it was from my childhood.
Okay. Are you sure?
Love that one so much. It's one of those ones where, like, a line of that has been in my head forever. And just Barbara Manatee.
Melody's good.
It's so good. And the premise is Barbara Manatee is a character in the soap opera, but it's also a stuffed animal that he's holding, and he dances around with it.
Oh, wow.
And it's like a tango song. And this is embarrassing. I'm going to admit something to you.
You made love to this song.
Jesus.
What?
No.
What?
Goodness.
Yeah, right.
Sorry for taking the Lord's name in vain.
I accept your apology.
Thank you. no, okay, so in my computer, I've sorted my photos, and certain photos of myself, mm-hmm. I titled that folder
Barbara Manatee.
Barbara Vanity.
All right.
And it's an inside joke that's been just for me for several years that I share with all of you now.
Okay, wow.
Because of this song. Okay, so then the next one is Song of the Cebu.
This is in no particular order, or are these three different songs for three different
occasions? No particular
order.
Okay. I don't think I can rank them. They're too good.
Okay. Three-way tie.
Six Cebu is crying and weeping. Bahumumu, 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 bahumumumumu. Do you know this one?
No.
Dang. Okay. Then the last one is Dance of the Cucumber, which is also really great.
Okay.
I think I'll just play a quick clip of that one.
Play a quick clip.
Okay.
Miren al pepino,
watch the cucumber. See how he moves, like a lion chasing a mouse.
Miren al pepino,
watch the cucumber.
Caroline,
how smooth his motion, like butter on a.
This is a lot of information for me to process at once.
Watch the cucumber.
Bob's wearing like a fedora, like a Lubega fedora.
Wishing to dance as he, dancing cucumber.
Pepino bailarin.
Dancing cucumber.
Okay.
Pepino bailarin. Dancing cucumber. Dance, yeah.
Okay. No, it's fun. Look at the tomato. I think maybe a 2018 cultural appropriation lens. I'm a little tense right now. My beehole's a little tight right now because I'm afraid it's about to be racist. Or it is racist.
He's dunking on Bob pretty good.
Buddy, you can't. Okay.
Such a classic. So, thank you for that question.
Yeah, that was
Justin.
Really scratching an itch.
Good times. Oh, sorry.
This question comes to us from Drew. Drew says, many of my more friends, okay, so maybe that was a typo. Let's fill in an adjective. Many of my more blank friends.
Many of my more sassy friends.
Have issues with secular media that addresses supernatural topics. Things like Poltergeist and The Exorcist, to be precise. So my question is, what do you think is worse? Christian media that gets the scripture technically right, but is artistically garbage, or stuff that butchers Christian doctrine, but is artistically impressive?
Ooh.
That's a great question.
Ooh.
I'm going to juke you a little bit. I think things that are artistically impressive are still reflective of eternal truths. Like, whatever it is that you believe about the beauty of God or faith or whatever God is to you, I think even if you're like, well, Jesus didn't technically do that, blah, blah, blah. Like, I think, I actually haven't seen it, but a friend of mine was saying, The Last Temptation of Christ, even though it's like way off book.
Yeah, people have said it's like heretical because Jesus gets married in it and stuff like that.
Right, but something like that is a more emotionally true, mm-hmm. or perhaps, I don't know, but perhaps it's a more emotionally true depiction of the life and character of Jesus, or like creates in you this sense of awe, more so than something like Passion of the Christ, which is like accurate question mark, but it is just like brutality or maybe done in a way where, or something.
I found that moving still. I haven't seen it since it came out, but.
Yeah, me neither. Yeah. That's not a, hey, what do you want to watch tonight kind of movie.
Let's get a, you know, big bag of popcorn.
Let's do Passion of the Christ, Schindler's List, double feature.
Watch him get whipped.
Good grief. So with that, I don't think getting it technically right matters that much, ultimately, because if you're putting something where it's like, I made this by the recipe, I baked this thing, but then it still tastes crappy, even though it's like you literally put those ingredients in the right way, it doesn't matter if it tastes bad.
Right.
I can't taste the ingredients. I can't taste the cinnamon.
I didn't enjoy it.
No.
Yeah. It probably won't surprise you that we would say the artistic element is more important than the theology.
Sure.
But yeah, like you said, I think something that is more profoundly moving on a human level, artistically or however, even if the message isn't quite Christian, is probably going to be more transformative. Yeah, than something that like gets the church right, gets a Christian's headspace right, but is just a dull thing to watch or is uninteresting or is flat. So yeah.
Right. And that's why I think that's why artistic excellence in this stuff is important. Not because it's like entertain me and dance, monkey, or whatever the case may be. It is like for whatever the idea that you want to communicate. I'll say for this podcast, I think we work to try to make it as good as we possibly can because the things we want to communicate are important to us, or like the kind of conversations we want to have are important to us. So it's really important that we try to couch it and package it in a way that's palatable and enjoyable for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And if we didn't, and if it was something more like, oh, it just feels like you're preaching to the choir, or it feels like really alienating if you do disagree with us and we're so hostile to anything that's counter to our beliefs, then no one would care. And I don't think there'd be any appeal outside of a very small niche, which is what ends up happening, especially with these Christian movies. It's like, okay, yeah, a lot of people like Fireproof, but it was just them. Honestly, the appeal of whatever the message just gets diluted.
Yeah, if you don't have skin in the game, then watching those movies is not very fun.
Yeah, it's like what you said in that Fireproof episode where it's like, or it might have been another episode where you said, shouldn't Christians be making the best art if that's what's most important to them?
If we believe like any vocation we have is our God-given vocation, mm-hmm. and we're to like be excellent and do and fulfill, I don't know, just our talent or what we're given, then yeah, it should be as good as it can be and beautiful and transportative and not just right.
Yeah, it should be like a God's Not Dead 3. All right, next question.
Hi there, good Christian friends from Good Christian Fun.
Hey.
As a gay man, I've always had a chip on my shoulder in regards to Christianity, and GCF has gotten me to rethink a lot of my feelings about people of faith. I've noticed a ton of similarities between art made for a gay audience and art made for a Christian audience. And aside from a few crossover hits like Passion of the Christ or Call Me By Your Name, they tend to be low-budget turds that exist to be a commodity for an underserved demographic to throw money at. Representation in art is important, especially for minorities. But should we be demanding better quality in our Hurricane Biancas and our Fireproofs? Or is it okay that these things exist and that they serve their audience?
I thought ahead about this question because I think it's a really good one. And something that I can't fully speak to because I am not gay.
And I don't think either of us have that
digested
much familiarity.
A ton of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what I will say is why that can feel so disappointing too is when we just kind of talked about this too in our previous question, but like if the message element is like trumping the human element or the thing that unites us, then it can feel, yeah, like really pandering and really sad and disappointing. And when the artistic element or the like common ground or something that gets to the heart of the thing trumps the message or this thing they're trying to package or try to shove down your throat, especially if it's very like dogmatic or didactic, then that's when it can feel really fake and we can sniff the insincerity basically. And I think that's why a lot of like Christian movies, those characters, those humans that they make, they lack dimension because they serve more as a stereotype purpose, like the angry atheist and the virginal girlfriend and the like overworked mom.
The zombie mom in the case of Grace Unplugged.
Yeah, the like long suffering. Those are tropes that we know and that are familiar, but they're a shorthand and they're lazy and they're not actually how we feel as people very often. And so then when you try to imbue them with a very real faith, the faith feels wrong too and it feels insincere. Mm-hmm. And so I, again, can't speak for what that would be like in the like LGBTQ community, but I imagine it can feel that way too, of like, you tried to make something for me, but it's so thin and poorly done maybe that like, I don't want it, you know? I'd rather have something that speaks to all human beings than like was supposed to speak to me directly.
Sure. Well, and I think that's very contingent too on whatever the goals are of the thing that's being made. Because there's things about, like, man, Magnolia, a quote-unquote mainstream movie directed by Paul Thomas Anderson, has a lovely depiction of Christianity and the character of John C. Reilly, the very pious, very noble cop. Mm-hmm. That's, like, very moving, especially when you take it into consideration with the rest of the characters in that movie. And so, yeah, I'm not sure, again, because we're not very familiar with those markets. I will say this, though, with pretty clear certainty. ain't no Christian movie as good as Call Me By Your Name. Or honestly, what Love, Simon looks like. Or Dear Simon, the one coming out. Is it Dear Simon or Love, Simon?
Because it's from Simon, so I want to say it is Love, Simon.
From Simon, for Simon.
By Simon.
Dear Simon. Ain't nothing. I don't think there's a Christian movie made that. But I guess that would be like, Call Me By Your Name would be such a good example of a movie that's just independently excellent. Like, to me, I don't think, oh, what a good gay movie. I don't think about it like that when I think about that movie. I had this thought today, by the way. If I was to ever have a kid, when he you know, is born and I'm holding him in my arms, that I might just involuntarily do Michael Stuhlbarg's monologue from the end of that movie, just upon sight of him. Have you seen it?
No.
Oh, no.
Not yet. I want to. I'm going to get there. But I'm sure that's just a spot-on joke.
Okay. I'm sure that was a good reference.
I'm trying to think of why, like, my golden example of good Christian media is, like, Prince of Egypt, and why that resonated well and felt faithful
Although
in a good way.
That's tough because it's kind of just faith media.
Yeah, I suppose
It's God media, and it's made by a mainstream machine that did care about quality and excellence more so than the message.
But they researched, you know, with so many religious people mm-hmm. to make sure they got it closer to accurate, or maybe just not a one-sided view of God, like just a Christian view of God or whatever.
But it is Love, Simon, by the way.
Okay, thank you.
I just want to make sure.
But I think there was such beauty in that film that it was emotional, and the pain that they depicted felt very real, or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah. So that, because those were more human elements, that it didn't be like, oh, they got the sequence of events correct and the genealogy, so I feel good in my heart now.
Sure. I guess the only thing I can really say about it is it depends on what the goals are of the movie. Especially with LGBTQ stuff, because maybe it is just, oh, it's like just a fun thing. I don't know what the goals are generally for those kind of movies for that market. I don't think it's ever unreasonable to ask for something to be more excellent. I think it's unreasonable to expect everything to be the Citizen Kane of whatever. Like, you're not going to make the best movie. The Paddington 2,
it's very
difficult
to do that.
Yeah.
We understand.
Yeah. So, I don't know. But I think it's not unreasonable for these niche markets to expect more and for people to do better. Because that is the thing. Like, when you see something that is truly deeply moving, whether that's a song, a movie, I'm not even talking about face stuff, but something that is deeply moving that is art, a song, a movie, a TV show, a poem you read, a book you read.
A painting.
It makes you, I get like a weird hostility to other stuff. I remember watching the trailer for Gnomeo and Juliet or Sherlock Gnomes.
I get upset.
I get upset.
You get upset at the waste.
Right. Well, and I don't want to be a hater. it does feel like, oh, you understand what it's like when something is good. You really squander this opportunity. And maybe people are really trying to do the best they can. Mm-hmm. But sometimes things strike me as, I don't think you tried. Of course, that's me really projecting a lot of motivation on whoever the people
He's
are.
He's got like a mouthful of candy sitting in an armchair. I don't think you tried.
No, I'm not even trying. Fifth cookie in my mouth. I could have wrote that.
Star Wars figurines surrounding him.
Yeah, I make them play with each other. No, but yeah. I think it's not unreasonable, whether it's gay movies or Christian movies, to expect more. I don't think it's ever, especially for something where it's like, you're making art. You're not digging a trench. You're not building bridges.
Writing a textbook.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, try a little bit more.
Yeah, get expressive.
Here's another question from an old friend of ours, Katie.
Katie!
Hello, this is Katie. How do you balance the intensity of some of the subjects with the humor of it as well? You guys handle some very sensitive topics sometimes on the show, and you've always been very tasteful with how you've approached it. You've been very good about having a lighthearted humor about it that's appropriate without demeaning the subject. And I was just curious how you guys kind of go about that.
Thank you, Katie, for the question. And Shout out to Katie. She was a moderator in our Good Christian Fans Facebook group.
Which is no small task, because that group is active and so fun. But yeah, thank you, Katie, for your service.
And shouts out, and what's a good Christian shouts out?
Hallelujah.
We want to give a hallelujah feels very close to Stars Hollow.
I know, I was going to say. It was like,
to Rachel and Alyssa, who are moderators on that group
They're
as well.
They're doing the good work, guys. And they're
doing pods work.
They really are. Yeah. And on top of that, they're very funny and very sweet and very good at social stuff, I will
sure.
say.
For that question about balancing the topics with the lighthearted, I don't know. I feel like you had a lot more reverence or trepidation about getting into this stuff than I did at first. Because I was just like, I don't know, it'll probably be fine. Who cares? You know, I feel like I was a little more, I don't know, not flippant about it, but you were a little more cautious, especially when wading into stuff when we're getting into purity stuff and sexuality stuff, which, again, I don't want to be careless with. But for you, how has that worked out? Talking about these things in a public space, what's been kind of your methodology for keeping it light?
I feel like a lot of my trepidation was just knowing how personal faith things can be and how volatile it can make people and like concerned. And I was purely worried about just my own like direct community and like how they would react or treat me, and then even the broader community of like how they would misunderstand me or if I would paint myself into some corner somehow.
Do you feel like you've gotten over that hump with your immediate community?
Yeah. Well, one, my immediate community is wonderful, and I should have known that, like my family,
and
my
friends.
They're
kind of in the rearview mirror of stardom now.
I mean, they gotta hang on if they want those freebies,
kind of
like
your entourage
RX
now.
Bars.
But seriously, RX Bar is a great product.
Delicious. Yeah. But so they've been wonderful, and I think that gave me like the first probably jump of bravery I needed to just trust that like it would be okay, and if they can accept me, then it's fine. And then of course, like the broader community was really surprising too, in just how many people resonated with what we were talking about or what we said. So that made it even easier. But as far as like balancing touchy topics with humor, I think that's
how do you balance those TTs?
Those TTs? I don't know. I think that's just our personality. One, like I think it's easy for you and I to slip between things that we know deeply in our hearts and also like laughing. I feel like that's just something that we do.
Sure. Well, I think that's part of processing too for a lot of us.
Yeah, and humor is wonderful, and humor is such a powerful way to, not to be redundant, but to speak truth to power and to laugh in the face of fear is really good. And I actually, this is something that my mom told me one time. She said there's bad fun and there's good fun, because I was talking to her about how like, oh, sometimes I feel like a clown with my friends, or I feel like no one takes me seriously, or they're always like looking at a way to laugh at me or something, even if I'm trying to be serious.
Really?
Yeah, it was like a bad day. This isn't all the time. But okay. But she was basically like, you know, being fun is important, and like people need it, and laughing is important and essential, and that's not a shallow, and that's not an unvaluable thing in the world. And so that gave me confidence to like be joyful with all of this. And I think holding like truth and holding comedy with hands together is a really potent combination and really fun.
Yeah, I hope so, because I think for most of us, that is how it works in conversation, where it's like, LOL, but seriously, rape culture. And then you can just like switch gears like that. And that's just how you live your life. So I feel like, and it's things we've touched on before, but we don't want to be flippant with the things that are, you know, heavier and affect people's personhoods and dignities. But we do want to be flippant with the things that matter less. And in fact, having a certain amount of levity or flippancy with those things can maybe erode the power that they have over us that maybe they shouldn't in some ways. So it's like, oh man, if purity culture is kind of ruined, or maybe not ruined, but like affected negatively your view of sex and sexuality and your own identity and stuff. Okay, well, what is a good, gentle, loving way to erode some of that and erode it in a way where it's still not, if you disagree or if we differ, you don't feel lesser than, but just something that, oh man, maybe things aren't as black and white and clear cut as we once thought. And that's something I do want to communicate, because we say all the times like, oh, we're not for the Christian audience and we're not here to bash anyone. But I will say, even within the subsect of people who would consider themselves to be people of faith, we don't ever want the impression to be, oh, well, I'm kind of a complementarian, and they're a little egalitarian, and I feel hostility towards me from them. We don't ever want that to be the case, too. And like what we were talking about, where difference is best expressed within the context of relationship, I hope people feel a certain amount of relationship, if not with us as hosts, then to the show, and for the show to provide a space where it's like, oh, you know what? You can differ and disagree while still being loving and gentle and fun mm-hmm. about it. Because I think that is something in extremism culture of everything is awesome or everything is terrible or this is the best or worst. Mm-hmm. That does get lost, where it's like, oh man, there's a lot of beauty to be found in those nuanced little spaces where it's like, oh man, we kind of believe the same thing, but not really at all about this. And that's where the fun has been. It's been fun to have someone on who would say, I'm an atheist. Okay, let's talk about Point of Grace. Like, that's something that I think we haven't allowed ourselves in the past to do. I think like what we were saying about another listener that talked about like, oh, how do I differ with my friends and stuff? Let's just listen to each other a bunch before we jump to conclusions. And again, maybe we're saying things in this episode or in the past 26 episodes that 30 episodes from now we'll say like, ah, maybe not. Maybe mm-hmm. I disagree. Mm-hmm. I want this to be a space where people can feel freedom to evolve, which is not a freedom that I think either of us felt growing up. I think it was like, here's your belief system, have at it. But I think I feel a good deal of freedom to evolve and change, hopefully in a trajectory towards health. And I hope that you feel that too, Caroline, and that people listening to this feel that too.
Yeah. I think it's important to us that we made a joyful show. And that's been our intention. And I'm glad it's coming through. Can I read you a quote?
Yeah.
Okay. I sent this quote to you.
That's right. Okay, yeah, I remember a little bit of this quote.
My good friend Madison sent this to me, and it was really nice, and it kind of like affirmed a little bit of what we're trying to do. Seriousness is not a virtue. It would be a heresy, but a much more sensible heresy to say seriousness is a vice. It's really natural to trend or lapse into taking oneself gravely because mm-hmm. it's the easiest thing to do. It's much easier to write a good Times leading article than a good joke. For solemnity flows out of men naturally, but laughter is a leap. It's easy to be heavy, hard to be light. Satan fell by the force of gravity. It's a Chesterton quote.
Hey, I know, GK? Right?
Yeah.
What is it about authors with those first two initials? C.S. Lewis, G.K. Chesterton.
It's the mark J.K. Rowling.
N.T. Wright, J.K. Rowling.
Mm-hmm. It's the mark of a serious master. Author.
Yeah, but that's a lovely quote to think on, and I hope people... The way I was trained growing up, and I think probably some pushback you got too, especially as a woman in the church, was that this is sacred. Don't treat this with XYZ sort of levity. Don't treat this with mockery. Whereas I see it as things that are sacred, and this goes with faith stuff or not faith stuff. I see things with levity as almost serving like the tool of satire can, where satire's foremost goal, in addition to making you laugh, is to show a point or to like extricate a larger point. So I see levity and approaching it with this sort of joy and this sort of ability to make fun of ourselves and make fun of whatever the idea might be as a way to kind of separate what's harmful about the sacred. And so sometimes it can actually magnify what is sacred. So whatever that good idea or that good nature thing or that good virtue thing mm-hmm. is, that it magnifies that. It actually makes all the nonsense and BS melt away mm-hmm. a little bit more. So seeing that more as a tool that's not naturally in conflict with something sacred, but something that can actually help it. This email comes to us from an anonymous listener. An anonymous listener writes in and says, my question is, what thing did Christian culture teach you to be afraid of or fear that turned out to be not such a big deal? This person says, I recently smashed my bottle of virgin champagne.
Nice.
In a positive way. And afterwards left me wondering what it was I'd been worrying about for so long. Mm. It was an impactful experience, but certainly not the life-altering event the church made it out to be. Mm. Wasn't angelic either. It was mostly fun, tendered, and a bit awkward. Thanks for the show and helping me through a painful and also much-needed deconstruction. Sincerely, anonymously stumble-bragging. And then in parentheses, this person says, your answers don't have to be that serious, by the way. Cool. That personal, by the way. What do you think it sounded like that for you?
Oh, that's such a great question. Well, I kind of talked about this one before, but like going to secular college was not as
secular college
was not a big deal because I went to Christian school from third grade all the way through high school. As we mentioned, I think in like the God's Not Dead episode, like they had prepared us like gird your loins, like everyone's going to be attacking you and tempting you in college, and like it was fine. Like, it was so fine and it was great. In fact, I had really been thinking about going to Christian college purely just to like keep myself protected through those vulnerable years, and not that it's bad to go to Christian college, but I'm so glad that I did what I did and got to meet real people, real being non-Christian people basically, or just people outside of what I had known for so long. And it was huge, 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 and challenging, like what I thought non-Christians were and what their lives were like. And I thought, I don't know, that everyone's life was in shambles unless they had Jesus. And there's so many people that were like healthy or funny or just a billion times more nuanced and multifaceted than what I had like thought about them.
Yeah, maybe you caricatured them in your mind.
Absolutely.
Or that group of
people. Yeah. And it like shattered a lot of my judgmentalism and my like otherness of people.
Yeah.
So not a big deal. I'll say another one. Not going to church was a big one. Like, not that I've done like a crazy streak, but there was once Nathan left working at the church we were at. We just kind of like took a beat and just didn't go for a while. And I think churches are very scared you'll do that. So they caution against backsliding all the time or like checking out of your community or whatever. But I found it was like just a really nice break and like probably better for my faith than if we'd like dived right back in and like went intensely hard on a community group or whatever.
That the idea that faith hinges on institutional participation is a nice thing to be liberated from.
Yeah.
Especially in your adult life.
Absolutely. Well, and I think the thing that also helped that was actually like friendships with you and other friends who I've had since our old church. And like, to me, those friendships are church more than like the services I go to. And I mean, they'll even preach that in church too. Like, it's not the building, it's the people or whatever. But to have that like really confirmed of like, oh yeah, I don't need to be like listening directly to a sermon to learn something about God or learn something about people. And so,
get those Christian yummies in.
Yeah. What would be your answer?
Well, I think kind of similar to the idea of taking a break from church, but in the form of, it was pretty drilled into me growing up that doubt was maybe something that happens sometimes, but something you go into and then you come back from. You go into the desert for a little bit.
But you're going to work it out.
And maybe you don't believe in God for a little bit, but you're going to come back and it's going to be fine. Whereas I think for me now, I've accepted doubt as a regular part of my faith identity and almost a regular rhythm of it, where I haven't shied away from like, okay, well, 2 weeks from now, I better blah, 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 blah. I've accepted it now as like, it's okay. It's okay if I feel like this for a few years. It's okay if, and I don't feel that whatever my status might be and whatever little, or maybe no, but whatever little faith exists hinges on how all in I feel and how like participating I feel at a given moment. That yeah, it doesn't hinge on church participation.
Yeah, or having your like airtight arguments down. And,
Or quiet time. I miss quiet time today.
I've missed quiet time for more than a day.
Yep. Yeah, so I think that's something that was drilled into me like, oh yeah, that's something you're going to need to come back from. You got to be a boomerang about that sort of thing. Whereas now I feel like going to the store. You got to go to the store to get your groceries, to get your doubt groceries. Is this metaphor breaking down? I don't know. But we have another voice memo question.
Hi, Kevin and Caroline. I was just wondering whether you guys grew up at all afraid of like the end times or the mark of the beast or anything like that. I grew up Adventist, and that was a big part of my childhood, having nightmares about the end of the world and Jesus coming back. Especially now that a certain someone is president, I sometimes get weird flashbacks to
Obama.
That.
Oh, she was talking about Obama.
Experience
the Antichrist,
at all?
Obama.
Yeah, she recorded that a few years ago. So she was talking about President Barack Hussein Obamacare. I'm afraid of everything in Revelation. Every line of that, or almost every other line of that, is terrifying to think about. To me, heaven freaks me out more than end time stuff.
Why is that?
Because heaven seems more ironclad.
More sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas the end time stuff, you could say, I think, and wrote a revelation in a fever dream on an island, and it's all poetry.
Yeah, like, or it's some kind of Beowulf epic.
Yeah, exactly. Or you could say, oh, it's all literal. But there's so much difference with that. Whereas the eternal promise of heaven seems pretty certain across a lot of denominations and belief systems.
Or just afterlife.
Yeah. Eternity.
Certain.
Eternal worship.
Or
think about it. Yeah, just think about the infinity sign. Or nothing. Yeah.
Yeah.
That stuff freaks me out way more than... And then there's going to be swords on fire and donkeys riding warthogs. And I haven't read Revelation a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know that donkey
Shrek.
Yeah. Donkey. Isn't
the
Shrek?
Swamp people and a tiny prince. And a man made of cookie.
Isn't Shrek the mark of the beast? His little horns coming out of him.
I'm telling you what.
Yeah.
That is such a good question. And actually, you are very not alone. And I've read a lot of things about... rapture anxiety, actually, and it's a very real thing, actually, for a lot of church people, and it's because, especially as kids, it's very scary, and it's something you can internalize. And I've heard multiple stories of people like coming home and they couldn't find their parents and thought the rapture happened and they were left behind.
We got an email about rapture pranks in particular.
Yeah,
too.
That kind of stuff. So it's very real, and it can actually cause a lot of trauma too. And so know that you're not alone. You're not crazy. You're not weird. I will say, I didn't think about the end times as much as I thought about demons. And for a really, really long time, actually until pretty recently, were extremely scary to me and extremely real to me.
Like just thinking about it or seeing movies or TV shows with demons in it?
No, because, well, at least in my church or my brand of Christianity, like, demons are real. Like, they're there and they invade your home and they scare you at night. And so... for a lot of my childhood, I was extremely
scared. Were they like
scared.
Burglars?
No, they'll just sit in your room and stare at you. Ugh. Or say things to you. And
doesn't a demon have something better to do?
Yeah, and so stare at me? I'm sorry. I feel like I should give a trigger warning because I feel like there's a lot of people who have this fear too. So trigger warning, demon stuff. But for me, for a really long time, I think also because I have a very like strong imagination, that was terrifying. And it was like really hard for me to sleep for many years of my life just thinking about it.
Really?
Really. And there was a good period, even a couple years ago, where I'd like on the dot wake up at 3 a.m. every night, full terror, like knowing that there's something standing behind me. And if I just turn over, I'm going to see it. Stuff like that. And so...
good grief.
It was awful. It was really, really awful. And and so there was very real fear about that. And I still can't like listen to people tell like their demon stories or whatever because it's too real and too freaky to me.
Yeah.
And so I would say that's way more anxiety inducing than anything else.
Well, I have a similar fear. I remember thinking I'd wake up and the creator of Lost would be standing behind me. I had Damon fear. Damon Lindelof.
This is making me feel better.
Okay. Now, I want you to imagine that next time. Instead of like a spooky demon, imagine like a, you know, like a writer guy, bald, got those big glasses. He made The Leftovers, too.
I will say, actually, no joke, what helped me kind of get over it, I don't know if anyone else has the same fear or any kind of fear like this, using my imagination for good is what helped me conquer it. So if I was imagining, for example, a white face in the corner of my closet.
Oh, gosh.
Looking at me. This is usually what it was. I would turn it into a bunny rabbit that hopped out and let me pet it. And then it would go away.
Did he rap? Was it like little rapping rabbit? There's a Christian. The reason I said that, I just remembered a rapping rabbit, like kids cassette tape that I had. It was a Christian rapping rabbit. And he rapped about, like, love the Lord and eat some carrots or something like that.
He's promoting good health.
He was all about good health. Hey, here's another voice memo question.
Dear Pod, it's me, Joel, from Winnipeg. And I was wondering, what kind of worship songs would be acceptable to sing on a Sunday morning? Would Lifehouse be okay? Would U2? Or would it be just some old school bangers like Amazing Grace or Come Thou Fount? I don't know. I'm kind of stuck between hymns and very, very contemporary worship scene. So I don't know. Let me know. Send me your word. And all of God's pods, people, say amen.
Oh, that was great. Wow. That came to us from Joel. Thank you, Joel, for the prayer.
Thank you. Pod answers prayers.
Pod. Oh, listen, Pod's going to answer your prayers. That's what Pod's here to do. That's a fun question.
Like, yeah, what would you say?
By the way, before we go on, I don't think any of us were under the impression that Lifehouse wrote that Walk to Remember song. Only Hope, the Mandy Moore song that Switchfoot wrote?
No.
No, but that got misconstrued in the course of the episode.
Who cares?
I care. I have to set the record straight.
Oh, all right.
As far as songs go, and listen, I don't think you can ever go wrong with the old school bangers. Come Thou Fount,
oh, man.
Amazing Grace. We all know it.
Gorgeous.
And those melodies are like classic, classic good. Like, they are well-composed melodies.
The lyrics are poetry.
Yeah.
In a way that is just, yeah.
And if you need a contemporary flavor, do the Sufjan Stevens version of Come Thou Fount. That sounds like a Christmas song. Because it was on his Christmas album.
I have a few examples, though.
Of secular songs?
Of good worship songs.
Okay.
Bitch Better Have My Money.
Okay. That's for the offering.
Work.
Okay. That's for... That's for the work of the Lord in our hearts, yeah.
We Found Love.
Okay.
I mean.
That's when you get saved.
Obvious. And Rude Boy.
Rude Boy is about Satan. The ultimate Rude Boy.
Come on, Rude Boy, boy. Go back to hell.
Contemporary stuff, I don't know. I'm so out of touch with like contemporary worship stuff. It's one of those things where it's like, you have friends of yours that are into radio and they know words to songs, but they don't know what the songs are and who sings them. Where it's like, be high and lifted up, be high and lifted up, be high and lifted up. I don't know what that song's called, but I know the words.
I never know the titles.
Never.
The songs.
Because oftentimes, especially at some of the churches we've gone to, they don't like show the title before you sing it. You just know it. So I don't know. I don't know what
people that work on worship teams always know the title of the songs.
Yeah.
I'll say that. The people that lead the music.
Yeah. What was that song in Grace Unplugged?
The hymn that they sang or the one she starts with?
Oh, no. Never let go.
Every high.
For some reason.
You never let go of me?
Yeah, you never let go.
That seems like a safe bet.
sounds scary.
Did you know there's a hymn called He Touched Me?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the funniest thing.
Yeah, He Touched Me.
He touched me.
I mean, it was a different time.
And there's a line that goes, something happened.
Something happened? Wow. All I remember is Never Let Go of Me. For some reason, because it was years after, but I remember singing, oh no, Country for Old Men was a film by the Coen brothers. Oh no, Country for Old Men was a film, won bunch of Oscars.
Do you want to do another one of your hits?
Which one?
Be pie and lift it up.
No, it's eat pie and lift. No, I went on because after getting back into church, after coming into LA, but then you would go and get hungry. So it'd be like, eat pie and lift it up. Eat pie and lift it up. Eat pie and lift it up. Yummy. So stuff like that, or you are food, you are food, when there is no food in me. And that chorus went, and oh, I eat your lucky charms, I eat your lucky charms, those clovers and blue moons, I eat them with a spoon. There was a couple dozen of those.
That's so great.
Anyway, we'll talk about something less alienating
now. I'm sure every
now.
Church kid has one of those.
So this is something... This is, by the way, if you want to send in a question for our Good Question Fun episodes, send it in to goodchristianfun@gmail.com with the subject line GQF. GQF, and we keep them on file for future use on future episodes. But this is a story that I came across while going through the old inbox and reading stuff going as far back as December of last year. And I asked this gentleman if I could retell this story. And this may be a new segment that you and I had talked about implementing at some point that we're going to call...
Can I get a witness? Yeah, 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 yeah. Can you get away with this?
Yep.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Oh, that was great. Can I get a witness? These are people who have had real life experiences with what we're talking
about. With the Christian pop culture that we're talking about. Or maybe stuff we haven't talked about yet, but
yeah,
something
like
that is
met
like
the artist or whatever.
A memorable anecdote, something that you witnessed in your life. So this one comes in from Cody. Cody's our witness this week. He says, hey, so I know you guys talked about this quote-unquote song on today's episode. This was a few months ago. And I wanted to chime in with a story of my own. Several years ago, I was dating a girl who apparently loved this song, and she played it for me on our first Christmas Eve together. This is, by the way, the Christmas Shoes.
Oh, my goodness.
I, thinking she was being 0% serious, immediately began ripping into the song, making insensitive jokes about how the kid should have went to the self-checkout counter if he needed to count out his change, and I bet he was buying his mom a sick pair of Crocs. The girl immediately told me to get out of her house, and I retreated with my tail in between my legs, feeling crummy about the whole situation. That's the story of how the song Christmas Shoes and my lack of tact led to an emotional high school breakup. Every time that song plays in a grocery store or Hallmark movie, I get a little sad. Just not sad about this kid's mom dying and needing shoes. Thanks for listening, Cody.
Oh my gosh.
So Cody's our witness for
this
week.
That is so funny.
Wow.
Get out of my house.
Can you imagine? Like making fun of this song and someone's, get out.
Nothing but respect for my Christmas Shoes.
Which we got to watch that. The Rob Lowe movie.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Cody, I feel for you. I have definitely stuck my foot in it a few times.
Have you made fun of like a song that was important to a friend of yours? That
yeah,
like,
or like you couldn't tell by their tone where they're like, oh, have you heard this? And you'd be like, oh, my gosh. Yeah, it's shit or whatever. And you're like, oh, I meant I liked it. And you'd be like, well,
can you remember
see
a specific example?
No,
I'm trying
I can't.
To remember for me. But this has been
too funny.
Can I get a witness?
Can I get a witness?
Oh, love that.
Nice. All right. You feel good? Let's do one more question. You want to read it?
This question comes from Nicole. Okay.
Just cut out 5 minutes of BS.
Yeah, that's fine. She says, do you guys have any advice for people looking for some sort of church? I was raised Catholic-ish, but my family stopped going to church when I was young, and I live in a city, and most of my friends are non-Christian. The thought of going blind into a church all, what's up, fellow Christians?
How do you do, fellow teens?
Sort of blows my mind, but I've been having weird God feelings for a while right now, and I'm not sure how to address them other than reading books and crying over Jesus Christ Superstar. So, as people who seem involved in church communities, have you had people show up before? What does that look like? How do I make sure church aligns with my values without emailing, like, you guys cool with birth control or what? Or is that cool to do?
Okay. That's a great question from Nicole. I think, by the way, to answer that last part of the question, yeah, it's totally okay to do.
Absolutely.
And I actually think that people who work at churches like getting into that nitty gritty stuff. Because that's them doing their job. Like, yeah, here's what we believe.
Yeah, they should be prepared. Actually, another pin on that, there is a website called churchclarity.org. And actually, that is specifically to tell you what churches believe about LGBTQ people.
Just that issue
okay. For now.
Yeah.
Because they said, we're not trying to tell non-affirming churches to be affirming, but for so many queer people that go into churches, it can be a real, like, juke all of a sudden to they seem welcoming, and then you find out way later, like, oh, you're not allowed to be a deacon. So I will say, yeah, be brave. Go ahead and email them and find out what they think, because that's important.
They owe it to you. Like, yeah. And I wouldn't mess around with any church that does kind of faff you around with that stuff and like, well, I don't know.
Yeah.
And by the way, churches have gotten pretty good about doing that, about being vague
like
enough.
It and then just being like,
well, it's a larger conversation about blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And yeah, they can hustle you, so don't let them. I will say, look, it's a first date and it's going to be weird. I think there's no way around that. There's a certain amount of comfort, especially... I'm thinking particularly in like a smaller group situation where it's, if you're going to a church more than like 100 or 200 people, then I think where you're going to find most of the meat and potatoes of what you're looking for is going to be in a smaller context of like a little Bible study or community group or whatever it's called. And there's going to be like a little bit of awkwardness there. I think that stuff is unavoidable, but I think it's unavoidable the way it is, and hopefully less awkward than it is on like a first date. And some first dates go really well and some of them tank. So I think there's a certain amount of acceptance where it's like, yeah, it's a little stilted. I think most people are nice and going to be doing their best. In some communities, you can get a good sense and feeling for immediately, and some take a little more time. But I think there, first of all, needs to be an acceptance of the feeling like, yeah, this is going to be a little unnatural. These people aren't naturally my friends or naturally my family. So then that being said, I don't know, like as far as like going to something for the first time on Sunday, what would you say about that?
I'll touch on a few things because I do have a lot of thought about this, because actually I just recently kind of like did this, you know.
Yeah, we went to a few new churches together. Yeah.
Yeah, and had to kind of decide what was important to me and kind of go through. There's actually a listener that's doing a whole blog series where she visits a different church or a different church activity every week of the year.
Oh, yeah?
And is writing about the experience. We can put a link to that in the show notes.
Yeah, we'll put it in the show notes.
There's just so many fascinating things about visiting a church. But church, for me, I've been going for most of my life, and it is always anxiety-inducing because, especially if you're maybe an introverted type, like there's so many little mini social interactions, a lot of chit chat, a lot of strange pauses, a lot of like awkward moments that like the structure is kind of there, but it still doesn't necessarily like facilitate a real conversation or a deep conversation. And so it's very easy to feel uncomfortable in church. And so if you're feeling that way, you're not alone. A lot of people feel that way.
Yeah. And that's that you're someone who has gone all of her adult life.
Exactly.
This is a person who's like getting back into it for the first time. So how much more so?
Yeah. That moment when the service ends and then you're supposed to find people to talk
to. It's like when the lights come up at a dance.
Oh my gosh. It is. Oh man. Especially if a church where you're new or you're still not comfortable. That is the worst. like, do I pull out my phone? Do I try to find some? Or do I just like try to quickly exit as fast as I can? I've done them all. I would say sit in the back if you want. And doodle. Check out. Knit. Don't worry about like behaving correctly. That's something I did for a long time, and church got a lot better for me when I just allowed myself to kind of like check out or imagine like, what if something crashed through this stained window? Or what if I just thought about a totally different topic or started reading through random parts of my Bible, like, or just started praying or meditating on whatever. Yeah, just allow yourself to take that experience however you want. And don't worry about like standing up at the right time, sitting down at the right time, exiting or whatever you have to do.
Yeah, your job isn't to make the church feel comfortable.
Yeah,
it's kind of, I mean, honestly, it's kind of on them to make you feel comfortable. And places that have a certain amount of size that don't at least have someone saying, hi, welcome. Mm-hmm. Even if it's just like greeters at the door, just making eye contact and smile. Like,
that's important.
It is important. And, you know, we got a kind of related question from Matt saying, what do you think of church consumerism? Is it wrong that I have a list of deal breakers when it comes to church shopping?
No,
I say
not
no,
at all.
Because
not at all.
It's not like there's only four. You can be picky.
Yeah. Well, this brings me kind of my next point of like, I would say you can approach going to church the way you would kind of approaching like a new job, of you're trying to go to a place where you can add value and where you can buy into it. Mm-hmm. And it's not just purely like you're going to take something, like you're going to come and you're going to bring something to the table, bringing yourself, your personality and your gifts. But also like you have to buy into a place where like you can get along with the culture and you believe in the leadership or you agree with like what they're trying to do and the mission. And that's going to be like the best match. And keep in mind, like, we're so privileged that we even have options to, like, look around at different churches.
Yeah.
So take advantage of it, you know, like, go and try out. And I think a lot of people that warn against, like, church consumerism are churches, and they just don't want you to leave. So, like, find a place that you feel comfortable in. My last thing that I'll say, if you can, visit a church 3 times or multiple times, because unless you go one time and you're just like, nothing about this was good, you'll probably see different shades every time you go and see a different speaker or see them talk about something or see a different, I don't know, music set or whatever. Mm-hmm. That'll affect like how you feel there Oh, sorry. One more thing. I know that was the last thing. As far as like people welcoming you, give them benefit of the doubt. Sometimes people are having a shitty day and maybe didn't feel like breaching out and looking at the new person. I mean, at our best, we all want to do that. But I think just recognize like, yeah, it's going to be awkward for a little bit. And maybe they missed you, but no one is trying to do that on purpose. And no one is trying to ignore you. Because I think I've been on that other side and I feel like, oh, I thought I didn't see them and they felt like I was ignoring them or something like that.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. We've all been in that. I told you about this, right? Where I found out literally a year later from a girl that was in our community group that something I said made her leave.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Obviously I didn't intend that, but she thought I was like making fun of her and I didn't even remember the the scenario. And it's like, so people screw up and
Of course, at their best, like I hope they're welcoming you. And like the church I'm going to now, the first people we met took us to brunch like that day. That was like above and beyond. But
was really nice of Joel and Victoria Osteen to do.
They're good people.
The thing is, they didn't pay for it, which is weird. Because they got a lot of money.
Oh, are you talking about Joel?
Yeah.
Yeah, but good luck and hang in there and and fun. Enjoy.
Yeah. That'll be a Patreon a second service episode where we go to churches and rate them while we're in service. We'll bring a recorder in. Okay, the pastor is taking the stage.
Ooh, skinny jeans.
He's dressed in all black. Interesting choice. He has a tattoo on his forearm. Nice. I don't love his haircut, but I love his persistence.
I want to remove the sideburns a little bit. Oh. And also the way he's speaking is kind of like a hesitance. It's just like he seems like a cuck a little bit.
Yeah, you don't want to pass your cock.
No, we would never do that. No. Not going to do that.
Folks, thank you so much for the questions in this episode. They were all great. Sorry we didn't have time to get to all of them, but we got them on file here. So
yeah, we'll save them for a future GQF.
Future GQFs. Email us, goodchristianfun@gmail.com. Subject line, GQF will store them away. Like a squirrel with his nuts for winter, we'll store them away for the next epi. And folks, Patreon.com/goodchristianfun. Second service, it's happening this Friday. The hunt
we'll
for the worst Christian song of
and
all time, March Madness
you
tournament.
Into the service.
Yes, we will with open arms and open ears. So, anything we want to lift up before we go?
Yes.
What's that?
I've been watching the new Queer Eye on Netflix. Everybody's been watching it, and it is so good.
Did you cry?
Yes. I mean, if you want to talk about a positive show that's like having a great effect on people, that show is wonderful.
That's great.
Yeah, and they spend like just a few days in these men's lives just very quickly, but to see like, I don't know, these like kind of composed or very guarded men suddenly let their guard down and talk about their insecurities and get better is just truly wonderful. And they're doing good work there.
Hell yeah.
So watch Queer Eye. Queer Eye. Have a good time.
Well, I can't believe it, but The Greatest Showman is in theaters now. And I liked it a lot.
Oh, great.
So weird. It got panned.
I wouldn't expect you to like it either.
Yeah, well, no, I like musicals, but it did strike me as like, ooh, this is poor man's Moulin Rouge. Mm-hmm. And to a degree it is. And it's like, ooh, they're trying to reframe P.T. Barnum, who is someone for all intents and purposes, like exploited.
It was a terrible,
Yeah. And they make him like the woke bae of the 1920s or whatever.
He's like, let's accept them.
It's about everyone coming together. But
hey, I'll take it.
Greatest Showman is fun. It is the, it's like the John Wick of musicals. It's just like a cheap, fast ride action movie of a musical. Yeah,
I had a feeling I would enjoy that.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, parts of it are truly terrible. But then parts of it are like, that was fun. And
when
there's one song where it's Efron and Jackman in a bar. And it's like, I couldn't believe it. I was just like,
did they have a handsome off?
I mean, kind of. Zendaya's great. Between that and Spider-Man Homecoming, I'd walk into fire for her. Mm-hmm. So, The Greatest Showman. Was run into the soundtrack this morning.
Oh, I had Meryl's another lift up. I forgot to do in our last episode. Happy 30th, Rihanna. Welcome to your third decade.
Right. Happy 30 whatever, Chelsea Peretti.
Yeah. Dirty 30. Have fun.
No, we did say that in the last episode.
I don't think I mentioned Rihanna's birthday.
Oh, you know what? We said it in our upcoming episode about the Newsboys for Second
That's
Service.
That's right. Oh, because that we was her birthday it. Yeah. day. That's right. Okay.
We saw the Newsboys.
You'll hear this again if you subscribe. Subscribe for redundant content.
What a teaser. So thanks. We'll take you out with our new theme song for our new segment. And we'll see you next week, and maybe this Friday, on Good Christian Fun. This is by Nicole C. Mullen. It's called Witness.
Banger.
Looking for some ladies and some young men to run the race and undo it to the
Yeah, she's good.
The turning back, the quitting if you're gonna win your mom.
All right, we'll see you next time. Bye.
Like a champion. Have you heard the story about Joshua? He was young, strong, and courageous. Not by power, nor was it by my friend, but by my spirit. That's what the Lord said, witness.
As we say goodbye to Proverbs 31 month, we look ahead, and guess what? The boys are back in town. Next week on GCF, we're listening to Christian boy band Plus One.
That was a HeadGum podcast.